Adonai, Genesis chapter number 15, and let me read you verse 1 and 2. It says, after these things, the word of the Lord came unto Abram in a vision, saying, fear not, Abram, I am thy shield and thy exceeding great reward. And Abram said, Lord God, what wilt thou give me, seeing I go childless, and the steward of my house is this Eliezer of Damascus? Eliezer of Damascus. Adonai is translated in our Bible by the word Lord in small letters, only the first of which is capitalized. Remember that Jehovah has all of it capitalized. But Adonai only has the first letter, which is the letter L. And so when you see that in your Bible, more likely that's what it means. Adonai, and what's that supposed to mean? And we'll go ahead and go through that. Uses the name of God, Adonai, occurs at least 300 times in the Old Testament. And it's most often used in the singular and possessive meaning, my Lord. This usage also occurs, the idea of a Trinity, as found in our study of Elohim. Remember, when we studied the Elohim, the very first one that we studied, showing that God is powerful as a creator God. And remember, he said, let us. And he uses the pronouns, a plural pronoun, referring to the Trinity. God is a Trinity. And so is also with this name Adonai. The same word is used 215 times and translated variously as Master, Sir, and Lord. The mostly Master. If we look at examples in Genesis, remember that Abraham was called Lord by his wife. In Genesis chapter number 24, you can read it in your own time. But that's when it talks about Abraham was called by his wife, I believe, Lord. And and then it obviously talks about the Lord as his master, Abraham's master. Adonai is translated owner, but when used of men, it is always in the singular form, Adon. Only of God, it is in the plural. Once again, the Trinity is suggested. So the Adonai itself, that word, is a plural form. Adonai is a plural form of Adon. In use in men, we just say Adon, singular. But when using it in reference to our Lord, we say Adonai. The Lord said unto my Lord, sit thou at my right hand until I make the enemies thy footstool. Psalms 110, verse 1. The Lord said unto my Lord, Jehovah said unto my Lord. You know what? You want to turn over there. There's a couple of places in the Bible that the Lord himself talks to himself. Like in third person almost. In Psalms, you want to turn over there, it's pretty neat. You can actually read this whole passage yourself and you'll be blessed by it. The Lord, in a couple of places in the Bible, refers to himself and talks to himself. You ever try to do that before? I know some of you guys probably do that. I know sometimes I do it. You know when you do something wrong, you say, Chris! So you're talking to yourself. See, God never makes a mistake, so he never has to yell at himself. But he does talk to himself a couple of times in the Old Testament. If I ever can find where Psalms is, I'll be good and good. This way. Psalms 110. Let me see. There's another passage in the New Testament that he talks to himself. 110. It says, the Lord said unto my Lord, sit thou at my right hand, until I make thine enemies thy footstool. The Lord shall send the rod of thy strength out of Zion. Rule thou in the midst of thine enemies. Thy people shall be willing in the day of thy power, and the beauties of holiness. From the womb of the morning thou hast the dew of thy youth. The Lord hath sworn and will not repent. Thou art a priest forever, after the order of Melchizedek. And we know that from Hebrews, who's that talking to? That's talking to the Lord Jesus. So L-O-R-D capitalized here is Jehovah. And he's talking to Lord, L, capital L, and then lowercase O-R-D, talking to Adonai. In verse 5, the Lord at thy right hand shall strike through kings in the days of his wrath. He shall judge among the heathen. He shall fill the places with the dead bodies. He shall wound the heads of over many countries. He shall drink of the brook in the way. Therefore shall he lift up the head. And so God is talking to himself and saying, hey, you're going to do these things. And I don't know why the Lord does that, but he does that. It's another thing about the Lord that's pretty interesting. It's a couple of places, like I said again, that he talks to himself in the Bible, and this is one of them. the name Adonai, well, let me go ahead and hear. Jehovah said unto my Adonai. I already said that. Lord Jehovah, capital O-R-D, and then lowercase O-R-D with a capital L. Sit thou at my right hand. We read that. Christ refers to himself in the book of Psalms. And also in Matthew 24, 41, 45, Acts 2, 34. And there's the things for you. You can take time to read those and you can see God talking with himself. The name Adonai translated Lord signifies ownership or mastership, as indicated by truth that God is the owner of each member of his creation and he commands the utmost obedience. The name Adonai translated Lord signifies ownership or mastership. He's the master. So that's what the word Adonai is, the master, the Lord of Lords. The expression Lord of Lords in Deuteronomy 10:17 emphasizes master of masters. Malachi 1:6, it says lordship meant complete possession on one hand and complete submission on the other hand. So that is our relationship with God in this word Adonai, his name. He's the master and we're the servants. And we'll read that here in a little bit later. And we'll see what he means by all of these things. And he's the one that has the complete possession. And what we must do is submit. A relationship with God is really simple. He tells us what to do, we do it. That's about it. And if you do that, that's all what it is. So, possession. A lot of people don't have a problem with the relationship with God as his as friend, because we liken it to our friendship on earth. On our friendship on earth, we kind of like our friends to like what we like, and we don't want them to tell us necessarily what we need to do. And we stay away from those people that tell us there's things wrong in our life, and they express it, and they tell us, and we kind of tend to go away from them. We stick with those that are somewhat of the same idea so that we don't have to rub against those that have a different mindset than we do. And so we don't have a problem with God being that way. But we do have a problem with him when he tells us from his word, hey, this is what I want it to be done, and this is what I want you to do. And that sometimes rubs us wrong because human nature tells us, human nature in itself doesn't want to be told what to do. But that's another subject I might touch on up a little bit here later. Illustration, Abraham, Adon, Master, Lord, addressed Jehovah. Adonai, Jehovah, or the Master of Masters. Abraham was a master with slaves and understood the chain of authority. There are two types of servants mentioned in our text in Genesis chapter number 15. I believe so, Genesis chapter number 15, verse 2. And one of them is purchased slaves, or hired servants. And let's give you some of the definition of what that is. Purchased slaves or hired servants. There's two different things. And don't think of the slave as we thought about it in our modern vernacular, because it's not means the same thing. And a lot of times the Bible word for things doesn't mean the same thing as we think it is. So we'll see what the Bible says about it. A purchased slave was accounted even as family, free to come and go as he wished with the majority of rights afforded the natural heir. In Israel, the hired servant was a stranger to the family and thus was excluded from participating in eating the Passover or holy things of their Lord. And that talks about in Exodus 12, 43 and 45, Leviticus 22, 10 and 11. So there's a difference. A purchased slave is considered somebody's family or part of the family, where a hired servant is not. And some places in the world still practice this thing, but we don't here in the States, obviously. But the slave had the right of the master's protection, and the master could entitle the slave to any or all inheritance. And Psalms 123 and verse 2 talks about that, and Psalms 145 and 15. If you want to turn your Bibles, I quote this a lot. I think I've said it many times in Romans chapter number 8, if you want to turn there. Romans chapter number 8. In verse number 15, Romans chapter number 8 and verse 15. It says here in Romans chapter number 8 and verse 15, "For ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but ye have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God." And in verse 17, "If children, then heirs, heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. If so be that we suffer with him, that we may also, that we be also glorified together." We're joint heirs with the Lord Jesus Christ because he purchased us. And we don't like the idea of purchased slaves, so we'll change that a little bit and doesn't talk about that. Talks about his sons, his children in New Testament. So he purchased us as his children. So that's what it is in the Old Testament. They purchased their slaves. They become part of the family. Hired servants were strangers that worked for somebody. The slave had, okay, the Old Testament saint saw him, Adonai, Jehovah, as Lord and Master, and servitude was inevitable. And so that's what the Old Testament saw the Lord. They had a lot of fear of God then. Not all of them, because of many things, Sodom and Gomorrah, obviously, in the days of Noah, people only thought evil continually, and they wanted to do their own thing. At points in time, people wanted to do their own thing, and they lose the idea that the Lord is the Master, and they're the servant. David called his Lord Adonai, and you want to turn there to 2 Samuel chapter number 7, 2 Samuel chapter number 7, 2 Samuel chapter number 7, in verse number 18, it says this, "Then went King David in and sat before the Lord," that's Jehovah, "and he said, Who am I, O Lord God, saying Adonai, and what is my house that thou hast brought me hitherto?" Verse 19, "And this was yet a small thing in thy sight, O Lord God, that thou hast spoken also of thy servant's house for a great while to come, and is this the manner of man, O Lord God?" In verse 20, "And what can David say more unto thee? For thou, Lord God, knowest thy servant." So God referred to our Lord as Master, Adonai. He's the Lord. And we see that four times in three verses, David mentioned the Lord as Master. And Moses said, "O my Lord, that I," and also mentioned there in Exodus 4:10, Moses referred to God as Adonai, Master. In Jeremiah 1:6, Jeremiah looked at the Lord as Master. Ezekiel said, "Jehovah is Adonai," Ezekiel 13:9. Daniel also refers to 10 times in 17 verses to it, God being Adonai, O Adonai, the great and dreadful God, Daniel 9 and verse number 4. So a lot of these major prophets, Ezekiel, Daniel, Jeremiah mentioned the Lord, and when they mentioned him, they looked at him as Master. David, one of the kings, he's Master, Adonai. In conclusion, those who knew Adonai, those who knew Adonai in the Old Testament knew him as Master and themselves as servants. And Adonai recognized them as servants. Moses, my servant. Abram, servant of Adonai the Lord. David refers to himself as servant in Psalms 119, 125. They acknowledge that they are slaves to a master, subservient to his will and direction, and that he is sovereign to reign over them because he is the Adonai, Master and Lord. The name Adonai, Lord, means, number one, it could mean authority. It's mentioned over 200 times in Ezekiel, saith the Lord God, or Adonai Jehovah. The authority behind the divine message, the great Jehovah, the Master, and the Lord. God is the final authority. He is the only authority. We already read that in Romans chapter number 13. Number two, power. He is the master of all masters. And the Lord Jehovah is everlasting strength. Talks about that in Hebrews 3:9. He's power. Number three, he's deity. My God, Elohim, and my Lord, Adonai. Psalms 35, 23, 38, 15. In the New Testament, Thomas said, "My Lord and my God," or "My Elohim," John 20:28. Reverence. O Lord, hear. O Lord, forgive. O Lord, hearken and do. Defer not for thy own sake, O my God. For thy city and thy people are called by thy name, Daniel 9:19. This is Daniel's appeal to Adonai, the Lord, the Master. In his heart, he recognized the lordship of Jehovah. God is Lord. He's the Master. Number 5, this talks about a relationship. O my soul, thou hast said unto Jehovah, thou art my Adonai. My goodness extended not to thee. By the way, we don't see these Hebrew names, Jehovah and Adonai. It's just filling in the translation that we have, the Lord's. Psalm 16:2. The subservient to the Master, with Adonai there is the Lord and the servant. David showed honor in serving his Master. It's a relationship, Master and servant relationship. And then number 6 talks about responsibility. Jehovah had cleansing for Isaiah, then Adonai called saying, "Whom shall I send and who will go for us?" Isaiah 6:8. The prophet responded to the call. Isaiah 6:11. Isaiah was ready to face the responsibility. And we have responsibility as Christians. God has given us a call, the Great Commission. And we have a duty to do in response to our Lord's command. And we must do it. Going out, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel. In Mark 16:15, Matthew 28:18-20, it's not a suggestion. It's the Lord God Almighty saying to us, "I need you to do something for me, and you must do it." Adonai, Lord, when used of God, signifies ownership or mastership, as indicated by the truth that God is the owner of each member of the human family, and that he claims the unrestricted obedience of all. Question. Do I honor, obey, and love him as Adonai? Hudson Taylor said this, and it's a famous quote. If he is not Lord of all, then he is not Lord at all. Adonai expresses a personal relationship involving the rights of lordship and possession. Thus, if redeemed by the blood, we are not our own. The great mark of the saved is that they know the Lord and reverence and serve him as such. All who know such a name put their trust in the one who bears it, and their trust in Adonai is not confounded. Let's go ahead and look Romans chapter number 10. It's a famous verse to us, and we know it. Very, very, very familiar verse, Romans chapter number 10. Oops, there we go. Romans chapter number 10. All right. I'm going to find it here in a little bit. Romans chapter number 10 and verse 13. It says, "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord," and that's the Adonai, "shall be saved." In verse 11 of the same passage, Romans chapter 10, verse 11, it says, "For the scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed." And that song, obviously, in verse 13, refers to the Lord. Jehovah. No, Lord Adonai, I'm sorry. Adonai the Master. And like I said before, nobody has a hard time admitting that God is the Savior. Because it doesn't demand anything, only thankfulness. Yes, if somebody were to save you, you don't necessarily, in your mind, owe them your entire life because they saved you. Right? We see that true. Although we have some gratefulness about it because they did save our lives. If they didn't save our lives, then we don't have a life to live now. But in essence, in our mind, we don't think that we owe them everything about us. We don't, right? If somebody were to save you, you'd be nice and say, "Thank you so much for saving us." And you might do a kind deed here and there. But you don't go up to him and say, "What should I watch today?" You don't go up to that same person that saved your life and say, "Hey, what should I do about raising my children? Or what should I do about the way I comb my hair? Or the way I should have a dress? Or I should, what kind of type of music should I listen to?" And so on and so forth. We don't necessarily go and go to somebody that saved us our life, maybe when we were drowning one point sometime, or we were choking, or whatever. something happened, we were in a burning building and they come and saved us or whatever would have happened. We were on the road and they yelled and say, hey, watch out for the car, and we moved just in time, or they pushed us out of the way, whatever happened. We don't go ahead and go to those people and say, hey, dictate to me what I should do now. So we don't have a problem with the Lord as a Savior necessarily, but we do come in conflict with Him when we find out that He's not just a Savior. He's the Lord of our life. And when you even say that, think about what you're saying. He is Lord, He is Lord. He is risen from the dead, He is Lord. Every knee shall bow, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. And that's another, goes back to the very first part. God has the possession of us, and all we do in response to that is submission. Submission, that's what we do with the Lord. And the Holy Spirit tugs in our heart. He lives inside of us. He owns us. In 1 Corinthians 6, it talks about that here, in verse 19 to 20. He bought us with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. And we will have a problem with that because we don't want to be told what to do naturally. And we want to do it our way. We want to watch the movies we want to watch. We want to dress the way we want to dress. We want to make our own rules in our minds of what is right and what is wrong. And we do not want to go to God to find out what He says about any particular subject in our life, because sometimes, or most of the time, we know what He says. And so we don't have such a hard time as saying, He's my Savior. But we do have a hard time saying, He's my Lord. He dictates our life. He dictates not just our future. He dictates the very present. He dictates to you what you should do today. And the Holy Spirit works in our heart. There's somebody that comes here in the main service coming up, and we know we haven't met them before in our life, and we have a tug from the Holy Spirit saying, well, talk to that person. Find out if they're saved, where in the world they're from, who's their mother, who's their dad, where they live, what they do. And we don't do a thing about it. Because we have a hard time with saying to our Lord, you're my master. We still don't get the concept that God owns every part of us. We have a hard time with that. And so, today, Adonai, God is your master. He has, if anybody, the right to dictate to you what you should do today. We don't have a problem letting our boss dictate to us what we need to do. We don't have a problem with necessarily certain people dictating to us what we should do. We don't have a problem with the world telling us how we should live our lives. We follow them very well. Hollywood tells us, well, you should be doing this way. We don't have a problem obeying that. Is it why we have a hard time obeying our Lord? If He is not Lord of all, then He is not Lord at all. You cannot dictate to God what He should have control of in your life. You cannot. Because He is not Lord then. You know, Lord, when that happens, you become the Lord of your life. And I suggest to you that I would, in your position or in mine, that I would have God to be in control of my life. Because He's doing a fine job. And I haven't have no regrets on the way He does things. I have no regrets whatsoever. The trials that He brings, I'll be happy with them. And the joy that He brings, I'll be happy with them. He knows best. And I found out, man, my life totally changed. Not necessarily at salvation, but when I found out this, that I have to surrender my entire life to Him. When I did that as a 12-year-old, 13-year-old boy at camp in Mount Shalmer Bible Grounds, my life changed. My life totally changed. When I found out that God is Lord of my life, then I found out that there's a blessed relationship. I have a responsibility. There's an awesome power entrusted upon us in that salvation. So think about that. Lord, today, Adonai, as your master. Elohim, He's the God, powerful creator. Jehovah, that's who He is personally. He's the all-sufficient one, ever-loving one. And then as El Shaddai, and now as Adonai. So think about that. Help us, Lord, today we pray.